Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Football Tips. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture Football, joined by Andy Murray and Ewan Patterson from What Culture Football to give you the heads up that you need ahead of Game Week 7 in Fantasy Premier League. Now, I'm joined by Andy Murray, a former winner, as I said, of the What Culture Office League.
The OG.
And the current leader of the What Culture Office League, Ewan Patterson.
Hello.
Now, lots of games to look forward to this weekend and, you know, controversial selections aside, looking at last week's results and looking at the way the points have been distributed, is this one of the most unpredictable seasons in recent memory? Obviously, there's the one where Leicester won the league, that's granted. But what I mean by that is anyone can probably beat anyone. Obviously, you'd generally back Liverpool to win most of their games. Man City, people are like, oh, how are they going to respond to losing to Norwich? 8-0, that's how they're going to respond. But yeah, I'm genuinely flabbergasted into what to do this year.
It's ridiculous, and it's kind of made the game of fantasy football kind of even more of a coin flip than it was before, which is kind of fun in some ways because you don't know what the hell's going to happen. But like, just to kind of sum up how crazy this season is, it blew my mind the other day. I was thinking about Bournemouth, and I was like, oh, they're having a crap season. They must be like 15th. Looked at the table, they're fourth! Like, what? What's going on in this silly country?
Yeah, I had this all planned out. I thought, right, start of the season, I'll look at the fixtures and actually plan ahead, because I normally just sort of go, who's playing this game week? And then mess it up. So I was like, right, load the team up with Bournemouth and Everton players, took a few Bournemouth players out slowly but surely so they didn't recover. And now I'm just furious that I've kept Digne and Bernard in for so bloody long.
Yeah, I kept Digne in for ages because, I was an idiot because my back line, I went with Robertson over Trent because obviously last season Klopp rotated Trent for most of the season. But lo and behold, Robbo only has one assist to his name, whereas Trent has a couple of assists and a goal. So the highest scoring defender there. But yeah, Digne's been crap. Really bad.
I want to kind of get into this a little bit more because I know I talked about using a wild card last week. I didn't use it last week because I had two free transfers. So obviously I took out Wesley, who immediately scored for us for Barnes, and I brought Cantwell in, I think, thinking for Barkley in the middle of the field after you suggested
it's
that.
It's impressive stuff with that Wesley, because I've seen games where he doesn't even look like a footballer.
I know. Like, I was like, sod's law. It's so obvious. As soon as I saw it happened, I was like, yep. Of course it is. But obviously, you're doing well in the Fantasy League. As I said, you're top of the What Culture Office Fantasy League. So I was going to have you two on because I think this is the week I play my wild card. I believe Adam Cleary is playing it as well this week.
There's no reason not to play a wild card by like week 6 or 7. Yeah, there's no reason. You get another one in January. Like, you know, you put this team together at the start of the season, you've no idea how anything's going to go. None until, like, things start playing out. There's low risk. You have a good idea of who's performing and who's not now. It's a good move.
And before we get into the ins and outs of the players you should pick and players you should avoid and players that desperately need to come out of your team, the unpredictability is tough, though. Not just in terms of results against teams, but even player selection, Man City.
Yes, I think everyone was. I mean, I don't have Sterling in my team, but I think everyone was kind of shocked when he dropped him for the Watford win. So I only tend to stay with the players that I'm fairly certain I know he's going to keep. I think Aguero is guaranteed to start mostly every game. I know Jesus occasionally comes in, but he's definitely an indulgence. And then De Bruyne as well. I think he's undroppable in his current form, so it makes sense to keep him in. Whereas, you know, even though Sterling is, you know, one of the best players in his position, you have seen Guardiola rotate there, you know, constantly over the last few seasons.
So, KDB's a solid bet as well because he's only 9-point-something million compared to Sterling, who's like 40 or something crazy. I mean, Man City kind of stung me this well. It kind of didn't stung me really because I put Zinchenko in. He didn't play at all. He was rested after Champions League. Lundstrom came in and got 12 points. So,
You want about getting rid of Lundstrom?
For this weekend, just on the bench. Just
on
the
bench. Not getting rid of him.
Not taking him out of the team completely. But yeah, I don't see Sheffield holding off Liverpool. But, I, you know, at the start of the season, I put Salah in as well in the front line. I thought, you know what? this will be, again, he'll crack on again. He'll have another 17-18 season. And, you know, he's kind of showing occasional flashes, but Mane looks like the main goal threat for Liverpool at the moment. So I'm thinking long term, I'm probably going to switch them out. I've not actually played my wild card this week. I'm tempted now that you pointed out, but I actually took a 4-point hit last week because I had Mount in my team, and then obviously he got the injury in midweek.
It looked like he wasn't going to play.
And then he played anyway.
Yeah, he played anyway, but that kind of made me think, well, I've got loads of like spare money banked up. I might as well just take him out and put De Bruyne in, and then I recoup that 4-point hit quite easily. Play, so, yeah.
What I wanted to ask you now is, you know, who are the key players? Because I've got this list of players that I'd like to bring into my team. You know, Sterling has not been performing, and even when he's been playing, he obviously didn't play last week. I was relieved that he didn't come on for like a 1-pointer because I had him as captain. But I had Aguero in there. And then you've got De Bruyne, as you mentioned. And then you look at other teams like Liverpool. Salah I've had in from the beginning of the season, confident that it'll finally come good for him. So inevitably when I take him out this week, he's going to score a hat-trick against Sheffield United. But you've also got, as you said, Mane, Firmino, everyone is buzzing about again. You've got Pepe and Aubameyang at Arsenal. You've got Son and Kane at Tottenham. You've got Tammy Abraham, you've got Jamie Vardy, you've got all these players. Who are the key players in your eyes that you sort of have to have, and who are the players you desperately need to avoid?
This is weird. I definitely think Aguero is one now, and I know Kane is constantly heralded as the leading goal threat in fantasy football as he is in real life. But you know, I'm still at the same time thinking that the sheer volume of goals is a concern. Like, I'm looking at my team right now, and I've always tended to rely on most of my points coming from the midfield forwards. And then I've had lower scoring players in my front line for a while. I had Jimenez last season, and I've brought in Josh King of Bournemouth this season. But some of, you know, Wolves just aren't performing at the moment, so I'm kind of having a little bit of concern at the front.
Because I know some people, but there's variations when it comes to playing fantasy football. You can either have a 3-4-3. Where you load it with, you know, let's say for argument's sake, Kane, Aguero and Aubameyang, and then you go, oh, we've barely got enough bodies to buy you the rest of the, you know, 12 players that I need for that team. Having said all that, is your philosophy, because if you bought a team of defenders that kept clean sheets, they'd be scoring a good 6, 7, 8 points guaranteed each week. But it doesn't strike me that that's happening this season.
I always the clean sheet issue is annoying because I think, you know, when you're picking defence, you want to go for fullbacks who get forward and can provide a goal threat and assist. And hence why, you know, Robertson and Alexander-Arnold are such good buys each year at the moment. The clean sheets just have not been forthcoming at all. Every time I think I'm that close to getting the bonus, it's yanked away at the last second. And that makes it very frustrating and probably, you know, gives impetus to load your team more so at the front end than the back end.
What do you think, Andy? You've got lots of detail in front of you that I'm desperate to steal from.
Been a big nerd, haven't I?
So is this something you do every season?
I do. Not every single week. I don't sit there with a spreadsheet every single week. But while I like
got a lot of time for this.
Sometimes
though,
when I really want to win a fantasy football league, I put together a little league table and I try and figure out who is the best value for money, who gets the most points per pound. It's a very simple formula in your spreadsheet. You divide the points by how much they cost. You find out who's giving you the most bang for your buck.
I love this.
It's not the be-all end-all.
I thought of this.
I think Ben Affleck was in a movie about Andy. The accountant.
It's Moneyball, isn't it? It's not the be-all end-all because six games is a small sample size. Mm-hmm. Players are in purple patches that won't continue. You have defenders who have scored a goal and are therefore very high scoring at the moment but will fall off because they play for crap teams like Newcastle. Fabian Schär. But I've kind of put together the best value for money based on this, based on their points per pound, and the worst value for money players. So looking at that, you guys want to take a quick stat. You might have looked at this. Who's the best value for money? Who's got the best points per pound in the league at the moment?
I glanced at this, but this is the name I would have guessed anyway, because I think it's the name that a lot of people would go to if you're thinking about stuff like that. As much as you want to say something like De Bruyne, he'll have had the odd week where he scored a few points, but you've got to think about the players who are the opposite of that, who've hardly cost anything and scored lots of points. It's Lundstrom, isn't it?
Yeah, Lundstrom's number one. 7.3 points per pound. It kind of makes him a must-have in every team. The thing about him as well is that, for some reason, only 27% of fantasy players have him at the moment.
I brought him in randomly. Like, literally, I was looking through. I was like, oh, who costs?
Cheap.
He's there. I'll have him in there. And all of a sudden, he keeps on coming off the bench to rescue my ass.
Plays in midfield.
I heard just before the start of the season, they were like, this player is listed as a defender and he's a midfielder. And I was like, well, that's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. Like, It's a pretty clear, like, I think everyone should pretty much have him. Unsurprisingly, Teemu Pukki is number two, 7.2 points per pound. Problem with him is that 45% of people have him in their team, so you're not really getting much of an advantage from having him. You're just keeping up with your mates. Interestingly to me, the top scoring goalkeeper, Fabianski, is the third highest points per pound. And only 6% of players have this guy in their team.
Yeah, I'm eyeing up Fabianski
for
this wild card week.
Insane to me.
I mean, obviously, they lost midweek to Oxford.
Yes.
But that's, I don't really take those into
that's
account.
That's their fault for, you know, not retaining their great backup in Adrian.
And if you look at the rest of the top 10, there's some unsurprising ones. KDB's in at number 8. I only say that because I don't want to pronounce his surname and get it wrong. I'd do it every time. Cantwell's there. 27% of people have him. Abraham, 31.5. Then you've got some more surprising ones. Angus Gunn, who only 3.6% of people have. Southampton goalkeeper. Yeah. Sheffield United goalkeeper, Henderson, I don't know his forename, so I've thrown that in there. John McGinney-Esta.
McGinney-Esta, every time I bring him in, he does nothing. And every time I take him out, he does something.
That's what I did last week, and the prick got an assist or a goal or whatever.
Fraser was the same for me last year as well.
Interestingly, the worst, like the worst points per pound, the worst bang for your buck players in this, right? I made a top five here. Most of them are guys who've been on and off the pitch, so it's understandable. That's a flaw in this system. Mm-hmm. Gabriel Jesus is number one. There's Lacazette, Kian, and Patrick Cutrone. A guy who plays every single week is the second worst value player in the whole game, and it's Kepa, who currently yields 1.5 points for his... But he's got 8 points so far, 5.5 million.
How many people own him?
4.8%.
Wow.
Too much.
Yeah, that's like, mental.
All of the Chelsea fans.
So basically, it's kind of an interesting little metric, but it's a good way to find some bargains. Like, I've got lists of all the... I'm not going to put these online or anything because it's my secret. And you can
the service
off,
you're providing to these people.
You
right should,
follow Andy on Twitter and maybe he'll give out a tip just before the 11:30 deadline on Saturday.
Interesting one for me, actually. The most interesting of all. I didn't do every single player in the league. Shocking.
Can you get on that, please?
Shockingly low points per pound. Pepe, Arsenal, 2 points per pound. Very low output from him so far.
Yeah, I've got him on this list there when I'm talking about key players that you need to have because he's one of those players you go in, one of these days, I've watched him play, it's going to click for him.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's going to... Because there's those players you see who you watch and you go, what a game they've had. But just because they haven't, you know, they've done the pass before the assist or, you know, they've...
Yeah. They don't get a number.
They won the free kick, which then gets laid off and then someone else
chances
hits it.
Created is a great metric for that. I think, you know, Maddison kind of maybe rubbish that theory with going so many games without getting any goal. But I think chances created is a great metric of looking at that. And, you know, obviously Pepe last year in Liga and Liga and Uber Eats, he had the second most amount of like goals and assists next to Mbappe. So, yeah.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So if you're like me, thinking about using your wildcard this week,
yes.
Who are the first players you're bringing in, aside from De Bruyne? I think that's a given. Aside from him, who are the players you like, whatever it costs, they've got to be in my team, and then you sort of pepper it around them? Or do you take the opinion of, I was chatting to James Heppel earlier on, another star of our What Culture Office League, who was saying to me, because myself and him and some other players who aren't, you know, who are maybe considering using their wild card but haven't done as well as yourself, you need to mix it up a little bit. Because if you just pick Pukki, Abraham, and Aguero,
oh, for sure,
everyone else will just score the same points as you.
You need differentials, mm-hmm. absolutely. Get Fabianski.
Yeah, Fabianski is a great shout. I think looking at players like Trent would be a great shout as well. I know that he'll play during the week because Keanu Hoover played for us in the midweek at right back. And his the way he's playing into a new role this season is quite interesting. It's not always like he's not always bombing down like Robertson did last season and what he did last season. He's more occupied. He's coming into central spaces and crossing in from that. And he's getting more chances that way, which I think is probably why he's leading the assist table from the defensive aspect. I definitely think Trent is probably a very sound. I mean, he's going up in price now, isn't he? I think he's like 7.1.
7.1 million, yeah. 4.4 points per pound, but that's more to do with lack of clean sheets than anything else.
And I think once Alisson comes back in, I know Adrian hasn't been at fault for the lack of clean sheets, but I do think that as Liverpool progress in the competition, that they'll probably, you know, be more solid at the back.
Yeah. I changed my philosophy this year for goalkeepers. For the first time, I said I'm going to spend big on a goalkeeper so they can get lots of clean sheets. And to be fair, he did good for me last weekend. I mean, he didn't have a lot to do because his team was scoring 8 goals up the other end of the pitch. But Edison, I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to save a little bit more money and spend that on outfield players. Yeah.
Edison,
the best thing you can hope for is, especially with someone like Edison, is basically keeping a clean sheet. He won't make lots of saves and, you know, penalties, it's just a lottery then, isn't it?
Yes.
The value of Ederson, I think, goes up with Laporte's fitness because Man City's backline is not the same without him in it. Ederson is the 11th best bang for your buck goalkeeper in the league. 4.1 points per pound. Interestingly, you know, David De Gea is actually a bit higher than him. But the big name keepers, I mean, Kepa with his 1.5 is pathetic. This year, I actually did the same. I started with Alisson, then he got croaked. And then I decided, oh, well, Jordan Pickford, he'll get loads of saves. He's actually the fourth worst value for money keeper in the league.
Pickford's a bit deceptive, especially.
Tiny arms.
Yeah, he's a little T-Rex.
Everton being so disappointing this season, which we are going to talk tomorrow about on the Premier League preview. but those people who can't necessarily use their wildcard, or maybe you've already used it, who are your key players heading into this weekend?
I think De Bruyne, or KDB, I don't know, mispronounced his name, as Andy Murray foretold. I think, you know, Everton are just, I don't see Everton coming good against Man City. And I don't know.
You're not seeing it as one of those games where maybe they raise their...
I think they're such a shocking outfit this season.
And also, whenever I think of that, I always think of them going, help Liverpool. Now you're on, off you go.
No, I think De Bruyne is a great shout. I think, I know I haven't got him. I think Pereira, actually, of Leicester. Mm-hmm. I think he's a great player to have in your team at the moment. I've replaced Luka Dinia for Pereira this week.
Yeah, Dinia's gone from mine.
So, yeah, I would avoid having any Wolves players. And Matt Doherty was one of my great buys last year, along with Raul Jimenez. I still have both of them in my team. I know they play Watford this week, who have been an absolutely appalling outfit as well. But that's a very, you know, that's not a game that you can really call because both sides have been so inconsistent. So it's weird. I don't really think I have a must-own player. I have Aguero because I think, you know, he's consistent enough. Have De Bruyne because I think, you know, he creates so many chances that, you know, based on the sheer predictability, he's going to get a goal or an assist at some point or another. I have Salah because I opted for him over Mane and maybe I've made a mistake there. But yeah, I think a great metric is to look at the amount of chances you create. Maybe bring in Lundstrom this week, but have him on your bench and then bring him back in later on in the week.
I'm keeping Barnes in my side out of the squad that I leave because I think away at Villa strikes me as a game that he'd do well. Another player that I would tip for this weekend is Jamie Vardy, who arguably has flown under the radar a little bit. Mm-hmm. And against the Newcastle side, who, you know, to be fair, have pulled out the odd result, it just strikes me. Leicester at home, I got to go to watch Newcastle versus Leicester in the Carabao Cup earlier on this season. And it just... he just causes all sorts of problems.
Yeah, Newcastle are still my pick for the first relegation spot. I think that back line is a fraction of what it was when Rafa Benitez, a manager who knew what he was doing, was in there, keeping things organised, keeping things real. The thing about the Newcastle back line is, on my table here, Fabian Scher, Tony Bone, whatever he's called, he's actually the fifth best value for money player, but that's an inflated one because he scores goals and stuff. He's Philippe Albert 2019. He's class, don't get me wrong, but still. Leicester players are a good shout. This week, it might be a good week to throw a bit of cash at some United and Arsenal forwards because neither of those teams can defend worth a hoot.
Normally you'd look at a match like that on Monday night and think, because I was looking at, like, I love Aubameyang just generally as a casual fan, but you go, oh, I'm not sure if this is the week if he's travelling to Old Trafford. But then half the time I watch these games between the big six sides and think, just because they're playing another Big Six side does not mean it's just going to be this nil-nil war of attrition. Yeah, it's quite an open game usually.
Yeah, I mean, that could be loads of fun, that game. Particularly if Martial comes back in. I think he's set to be recovered from injury potentially this week. Yeah, it's interesting. I actually think Danny Ceballos. That
yeah.
might be a good little shout this week. He hasn't posted any numbers in recent weeks, but he's 5.7 million. He had an awesome debut
a
month or so ago. He's going to be in there against probably big, stupid Scott McTominay.
Yeah.
Like, I watch him play for Scotland. Don't tell me that guy's good. It's interesting.
What's he on the cover of?
Pez.
Pez, yeah.
Ceballos, he was. Ceballos is a great shout. Like, Jesus. I think, again, I think it's weird because Emery, he's one of those managers I can never, like Guardiola, he rotates all the goddamn time. And, you know, I have Guendouzi on my bench and suddenly he pulls in points every now and then. I'm like, how did
he magnificent last week?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Ceballos is a great shout. I think he'll probably stake a claim to be in this team going forward because he's their most creative midfielder.
Now, Man City and Liverpool aside, because they're kind of givens that you probably have to have at least two, if not three players from those sides in there, and I still haven't really made my mind up for this weekend between Salah, Mane and Firmino.
Yes.
Having said that, and the Man City game, another intriguing game I have to mention is Spurs at home against Southampton, because Spurs are Spursing this season, aren't they?
Yeah. Pochettino was in the I think he mentioned last week or just after the Oxford result, it was basically just, it wasn't Oxford, it was
Colchester
saying that all of his players have got their heads elsewhere. And it's just kind of like, well, that's great, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's your job to fix.
It's ridiculous to me as well, because last season you think of Lucas Moura as being one of the most consistent players. He's barely gotten a look in this season.
Yeah.
And I had him in my team for the first few weeks. I was like, he's going to come on at some point. He just doesn't come on. So I think if you're going to pull in any Spurs players, you're either looking at Son or Kane. I don't think you can really go out on a limb and get any other player.
Looking at this, it's one of those games where it could be 6-0 to Tottenham with a hat-trick for Son and Kane. Or, you know, Southampton have been kind of overlooked this season.
Yeah, I think whatever you do in this game, stay the hell away from Tottenham's back line. Two reasons. They haven't kept a lot of clean sheets. Have they even kept one this season?
I think so, because there was one, I remember.
Crystal Palace.
Possibly.
Oh, yeah, they won. Yeah. But, like, the thing with that is there's a lot of attractive players in that back line, because, like, Kyle Walker-Peters is someone like 4.8 cake million. Aurier, who might play, is 5. Even Toby's, like, 5.5. There's a lot of theoretically really good value players there, but they rotate so often and they concede goals. It's kind of, you got to resist that fruit because it's not gonna work out for you. The Southampton thing is really strange as well, because their top two players value for money wise are Gunn and a centre back Vestergaard, who's actually the highest scoring defender in the game at the moment, which is kind of crazy. But would you trust them to keep a clean sheet against Harry Kane and Son and maybe Christian Eriksen and maybe Eric Lamela, all these other guys? That's a weird game.
Final game I want to point out, we are going to be going to these games in more detail, of course, tomorrow, is Chelsea versus Brighton. Tammy Abraham has hit the headlines a lot recently alongside the likes of Mason Mount. Is he under consideration for you?
Yes, I think both him and Mount. I think Mount is, again, going throughout the season. He looks like he's going to be the main creative hub for Chelsea, and that means goals and assists. And, you know, I think that's both of those players, having them in your team would make a lot of sense, and that would help, you know, getting in on them right now before they get too more, like you know, before they increase in price, I think would be a very good idea.
Yeah. Interestingly, like, Mount and Abraham are just coming, they're becoming fashionable now, and rightly so. They're incredible buys so far. Abraham is in 33% or something like that of teams. I think Mount is at a similar number. That will probably go up because they're both very good. So you absolutely have to capitalize on those guys now before everyone in your league has them and you no longer have an advantage from playing them. I've got Abraham at the moment. I'm persisting with my budget front three of Abraham, Pukki and Aller. It's going to fall apart very soon. This week, none of them scored. So it wasn't a good start after playing my wild card on these fannies. But we'll see how it goes. It's a desperate strategy. I'd fancy this Aller fella to get a goal because he's a big lad.
West Ham are doing well this season. They're sort of flying under the radar, aside from in the Carabao Cup, of course. Give a shout out very quickly to Sagar Sedhine yet again.
Still
he is top of the What Culture Fans Fantasy League with Shadow Recruit. Scored 65 points this week, which is kind of middling, I suppose.
By his standards.
Yeah.
439
points overall.
How
Phenomenal.
Many spreadsheets do you think he has?
Oh my goodness, he has multiple programs.
Please send me a copy if you're watching this, Sagar. And finally, you two, who are you going to captain this week?
Oh, I was going to say Aguero, but maybe now you've convinced me that Abraham might be it.
It's Tammy for me. Yeah. He's playing Brighton, isn't he? Mm. They suck. So, yeah.
I'm going to go, you know, the obvious ones to pick are your Agueros, your De Bruyne's. Tammy Abraham's a good, very good shout. Maybe Liverpool players. If you want to go something a little bit different, aside from Salah, Mane, Firmino, etc., I'm a man who will literally never captain a defender in my life, so I can rule that one out. I'm going to go with Jamie Vardy. I see him getting a lot of goals this weekend, or at least being involved in a lot of stuff against Newcastle. Sunday game, it better be bloody good because nothing else will be on Match of the Day too. So I'm hopeful for that. But yeah, that's a bit of an out there one to potentially consider. But there we have it. This has been our fantasy football tips. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below. And don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Football, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily football podcasts too. And make sure you like, share and subscribe, of course. Right, you can follow us all on Twitter. You can follow us at WhatCultureFC. You can follow Ewan at...
Ewan Ruins Things.
You can follow Andy at...
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for How Have I Not Won the League Yet?
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. I said follow us all at WhatCultureFC. But for now, my thanks to Ewan and Andy. Thank you for watching and we will see you soon.
Imagine putting Scott McTominay on your cover.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.